she her usual stout and bouncy self. "Oh, Miss Seeley," she cried, "it's so good to see you again. It even good to see Mister," she say. She take one of his hands. "Even if his handshake is a little weak," she say. He act real glad to see her. "Here, pull up a chair," he say. "Have a cold drink." "Give me a shot of White Lightning," she say. Prizefighter pull up a chair, straddle it backwards, hug on Sophia like they at home. I see Harpo cross the room with his little yellow-skinned girlfriend. He look at Sophia like she a hant. "This Henry Broadnack," Sophia say. "Everybody call him Buster. Good friend of the family." "How you all?" he say. He smile pleasant and let's keep listening to the music. Shug wearing a gold dress that show her titties nib out to the nipple. Everybody sort of hoping something break, but that dress strong. "Man, old man," say Buster. "Fire department won't do. Somebody call the law." Mister whisper to Sophia, "Where you cheering at?" She whisper back, "My cheering at home. Where yours?" He don't say nothing. Both the girls bigged and gone. Bub in and out of jail. If his granddaddy wasn't the colored uncle of the sheriff who looked just like Bub, Bub be lynched by now. I can't get over how good Sophia look. Most women with 5 children look a little peaked. I say to her across the table when Shug finish her song, "You look like you ready for 5 more." "Oh," she say, "I got 6 children now, Miss Seeley." "6? I am shocked. She toss her head, look over at Harpo. "Life don't stop just cause you leave home, Miss Seeley. You know that." "My life stopped when I left home, I think. But then I think again. It stopped with Mister, maybe. But start up again with Shug." Shug come over and she and Sophia hug. Shug say, "Girl, you look like a good time, you do." That when I notice how Shug talk and act sometimes like a man. Men say stuff like that to women. "Girl, you look like a good time." Women always talk about hair and health, how many babies living or dead or got teeth. Not about how some woman they hugging on look like a good time. All the men got their eyes glued to Shug's bosom. I got my eyes glued there, too. I feel my nipples harden under my dress. My little button sort of perk up, too. "Shug," I say to her in my mind, "girl, you looks like a real good time. The good Lord knows you do." "What you doing here?" asks Harpo. Sophia say, "Come to hear Miss Shug. You got a nice place here, Harpo." She look around. This and that, her eyes admire. Harpo say, "It just a scandalous. A woman with 5 children hanging out in a juke joint at night." Sophia, I go cool. She look him up and down. Since he quit stuffing himself, he gained a bunch of weight, face, head, and all, mostly from drinking home brew and eating leftover barbecue. By now he just about her size. "A woman need a little fun once in a while," she say. "A woman need to be at home," he say. She say, "This is my home, though I do think it go better as a juke joint." Harpo look at the prize fighter. Prize fighter push back his chair a little, pick up his drink. "I don't fight Sophia battle," he say. "My job to love her and take her where she want to go." Harpo breathed some relief. "Let's dance," he say. Sophia laugh, get up, put both arms around his neck. They slow drag out across the floor. Harpo little yellowish girlfriend sulk hanging over the bar. She a nice girl, friendly and everything, but she like me. She do anything Harpo say. He give her a little nickname, too. Call her Squeak. Pretty soon, Squeak get up her nerve to try to cut in. Harpo try to turn Sophia so she can't see, but Squeak keep on tapping and tapping on his shoulder. Finally, he and Sophia stopped dancing. They about 2 feet from our table. Shug said, uh-oh, and point with her chin. Something about to blow right there.
Who this woman? Says Squeak in this little teenancy voice.
You know who she is, say Harpo. Squeak turned to Sophia, say,
you better leave him alone.
Sophia say, fine with me. She turned round to leave. Harpo grabbed her by the arm, say, you don't have to go nowhere. Hell, this your house.
Squeak say, what you mean, this her house? She walk out on you, walk away from the house. It over now, she said to Sophia.
Sophia say, fine with me. Try to pull away from Harpo's grip, he hold her tight.
Listen, Squeak, say Harpo. Can a man dance with his own wife?
Squeak say,
not if he my man, he can't. You hear that, bitch?
She said to Sophia. Sophia getting a little tired of Squeak, I can tell by her ears. They sort of push back, but she say again, sort of end of argument like, hey, fine with me.
Squeak slap her up across the head.
What'd she do that for? Sophia don't even deal in little ladies things such as slaps. She ball up her fist, draw back, and knock two of Squeak's side teeth out. Squeak hit the floor, one tooth hanging on her lip, the other one upside my cold drink glass. Then Squeak start banging on Harpo's leg with her shoe.
You get that bitch out of here, she cry,
blood and slobber running down her chin. Harpo and Sophia stand side by side looking down at Squeak, but I don't think they hear her. Harpo still holding Sophia's arm. Maybe half a minute go by. Finally, he turned loose her arm, reached down and cradled poor little Squeak in his arms. He coo and coo at her like she a baby. Sophia come over and get the prize fighter. They go out the door and don't look back. Then us hear a car motor start. Dear God, Harpo mope, wipe the counter, light a cigarette, look outdoors, walk up and down. Little Squeak run along all up under him, trying to get his attention. Baby this, she say, baby that. Harpo look through her head, blow smoke. Squeak come over to the corner where me and Mister at. She got two bright gold teeth in the side of her mouth, generally grin all the time. Now she cry. Miss Seeley, she say, what the matter with Harpo?
Sophia in jail, I say.
In jail? She look like I say Sophia on the moon.
What's she in jail for? She asked.
Sassin' the mayor's wife, I say. Squeak pull up a chair, look down my throat.
What's your real name? I asked her.
She said, Mary Agnes. Make Harpo call you by your real name, I say. Then maybe he see you, even when he trouble. She look at me puzzled. I let it go. I tell her what one of Sophia's sister tell me and mister. Sophia and the prize fighter and all the children got in the prize fighter car and went to town. Clam out on the street looking like somebody. Just then the mayor and his wife come by.
All these children, say the mayor's wife, digging in her pocketbook. Cutest little buttons, though, she say.
She stop, put her hand on one of the children's head, say, and such strong white teeth. Sophia and the prize fighter don't say nothing. Wait for her to pass. Mayor wait, too. Stand back and tap his foot. Watch her with a little smile. Now, Millie, he say, always going on over colored. Miss Millie finger the children some more, finally look at Sophia and the prize fighter. She look at the prize fighter car. She eye Sophia wristwatch. She say to Sophia, all your children so clean, she say. Would you like to work for me? Be my maid?
Sophia say, hell no.
She say, what you say?
Sophia say, hell no.
Maya look at Sophia, push his wife out the way, stick out his chest. Girl, what you say to Miss Millie? Sophia say, I say, hell no. He slap her. I stop telling it right there. Squeak on the edge of her seat. She wait, look down my throat some more. No need to say no more, Mr. Say. You know what happened if somebody slapped Sophia. Squeak go white as a sheet. No, she say. No, nothing, I say. Sophia knocked the man down. The police has come. Start slinging the children off the mayor. Bang their heads together. Sophia really start to fight. They drag her to the ground. This far as I can go with it, look like. My eyes get full of water and my throat close. Poor Squeak all scrunched down in her chair, trembling. They beat Sophia, Mr. Say. Squeak fly up like she sprung, run over behind the counter to Harpo, put her arms round him. They hang together a long time, cry. What the prize fighter do in all this? I asked Sophia's sister Odessa. He want to jump in, she say. Sophia say, no, take the children home. Polices have their guns on him anyway. One move, he dead. Six of them, you know. Mr. Go plead with the sheriff to let us see Sophia. Bub be in so much trouble, look so much like the sheriff. He and Mr. almost on family terms. Just long as Mr. know he colored. Sheriff say, she a crazy woman, your boy's wife. You know that? Mr. say, yes, sir. Us do know it. Been trying to tell Harpo she crazy for 12 years. Since way before they marry. Sophia come from crazy peoples, Mr. say. It's not all her fault. And then again, the sheriff know how women's is anyhow. Sheriff think about the women he know. Say, yep, you right there. Mister say, we gonna tell her she crazy too. If us ever do get in to see her. Sheriff say, well, make sure you do. And tell her she lucky she alive. When I see Sophia, I don't know why she still alive. They crack her skull, they crack her ribs, they tear her nose loose on one side. They blind her in one eye. She swole from head to foot. Her tongue, the size of my arm, is stick out between her teeth like a piece of rubber. She can't talk, and she just about the color of an eggplant. Scare me so bad I near about drop my grip, but I don't. I put it on the floor of the cell, take out comb and brush, nightgown, witch hazel, and alcohol, and I start to work on her. The colored tendant bring me water to wash her with, and I started her two little slits for eyes. Dear God, they put Sophia to work in the prison laundry. All day long from 5 to 8 she washing clothes. Dirty convict uniforms, nasty sheets and blankets pile way over her head. Us see her twice a month for half an hour. Her face yellow and sickly. Her fingers look like fatty sausage. Everything nasty here, she say, even the air. Food bad enough to kill you with it. Roaches here, mice, flies, lice, and even a snake or two. If you say anything, they strip you, make you sleep on a cement floor without a light. How you manage? Us asked. Every time they ask me to do something, Miss Seeley, I act like I'm you. I jump right up and do just what they say. She look wild when she say that, and her bad eye wander round the room. Mister suck in his breath. Harpo groan. Monsieur cuss. She come from Memphis special to see Sophia. I can't fix my mouth to say how I feel. I'm a good prisoner, she say. Best convict they ever see. They can't believe I'm the one sassed the mayor's wife, knocked the mayor down. She laugh. It sound like something from a song. The part where everybody done gone home, but you. 12 years a long time to be good, though, she say. Maybe you get out on good behavior, say Harpo. Good behavior ain't good enough for them, say Sophia. Nothing less than sliding on your belly with your tongue on their boots can even get their attention. I dream of murder, she say. I dream of murder, sleep or wake. Us don't say nothing. How the children, she asked. They all fine, say Harpo. Between Odessa and Squeak, they get by. Say thank you to Squeak, she say. Tell Odessa, I think about her. Dear God, us all sit round the table after supper. Me, Shug, Mr. Squeak, the prize fighter, Odessa, and two more of Sophia's sisters. Sophia not gonna laugh, say Mister. Yeah, say Harpo, she look a little crazy to me. And what she had to say Shug, my God. Us got to do something, say Mister, and be right quick about it. What can us do? Asked Squeak. She look a little haggard with all Sophia and Harpo cheering sprung on her at once, but she carry on. Hair a little stringy, slip show, but she carry on. Bust her out, say Harpo. Get some dynamite off the gang that's building that big bridge down the road. Blow the whole prison, the kingdom come. Shut up, Harpo, say Mister. Us trying to think. I got it, say the prize fighter. Smuggle in a gun. Well, he rub his chin, maybe smuggle in a file. No, say Odessa. They just come after her if she leave that way. Me and Squeak don't say nothing. I don't know what she think, but I think about angels. God coming down by chariot, swinging down real low, and carrying old Sophia home. I see 'em all as clear as day. Angels all in white, white hair and white eyes, look like albinos. God all white, too, looking like some stout white man work at the bank. Angels strike their cymbals, one of them blow his horn. God blow out a big breath of fire, and suddenly Sophia free. Who the warden's black kin folks, say Mister. Nobody say nothing. Finally the prize fighter speak. What his name, he asked. Hodges, say Harpo, Bubba Hodges. Old man Henry Hodges' boy, say Mister. Used to live out on the old Hodges place. Got a brother named Jimmy? Asked Squeak. Yeah, say Mister. Brother named Jimmy. Married to that Quitman girl. Daddy owned the hardware. You know them? Squeak duck her head. Mumble something. Say what? Asked Mister. Squeak cheek turned red. She mumble again. He your what? Mister asked. Cousin, she say. Mister look at her. Daddy, she say. She cut her eye at Harpo, look at the floor. He know anything about it? Asked Mister. Yeah, she say. He got 3 children by my mama, 2 younger than me. His brother know anything about it? Asked Mister. One time he come by the house with Mister Jimmy. He give us all quarters. Say we sure do look like Hodges. Mister rear back in his chair, give Squeak a good look from head to foot. Squeak push her greasy brown hair back from her face. Yeah, say Mister, I see the resemblance. He bring his chair down on the floor. Well, look like you the one to go. Go where? Asked Squeak. Go see the warden. He your uncle. Dear God, us dress Squeak like she a white woman, only her clothes patch. She got on a starch and iron dress, high-heeled shoes with scuffs, and an old hat somebody give Shug. Us give her an old pocketbook look like a quilt and a little black Bible. Us wash her hair and get all the grease out, then I put it up in 2 plaits that cross over her head. us bathe her so clean she smell like a good clean floor.
What I'm gonna say? She asks.
Say you living with Sophia's husband, and her husband say Sophia not being punished enough. Say she laugh at the fools she make of the guards. Say she getting along just fine where she at, happy even, long as she don't have to be no white woman maid.
Gracious God, say Squeak. How I'm going to tune up my mouth to say all that?
He asks who you is, make him remember. Tell him how much that quarter he give you meant to you.
That was 15 years ago, say Squeak. He ain't going to remember that.
Make him see the Hodges in you, say Odessa. He'll remember. Tell him you just think justice ought to be done yourself. But make sure he know you living with Sophia's husband, say Shug. Make sure you get in the part about being happy where she at. Worst thing could happen to her is to be some white lady maid. I don't know, say the prize fighter. This sound mighty much like some old Uncle Tomming to me. Shug snort. Well, she say, Uncle Tom wasn't called uncle for nothing. Dear God, poor little Squeak come home with a limp. Her dress ripped, her hat missing, and one of the heels come off her shoe.
What happened? Us asked.
He saw the Hodges in me, she say, and he didn't like it one bit. Harper come up the steps from the car. My wife beat up, my woman raped, he say. I ought to go back out there with guns, maybe set fire to the place, burn the crackers up.
Shut up, Harpo, say Squeak. I'm telling it.
And she do.
Say, the minute I walked through the door, he remembered me.
What he say, us ask.
Say, what you want?
I say, I come out of the interest I have since seeing justice is done.
What you say you want, he asks again.
I say what y'all told me to say about Sophia not being punished enough. Say she happy in prison, strong girl like her. Her main worry is just the thought of ever being some white woman maid.
That would start the fight, you know, I say. Maya's wife asked Sophia to be her maid. Sophia says she never going to be no white woman's nothing, let alone maid.
That's so, he asks, all the time looking me over real good.
Yes, sir, I say. Say prison suit her just fine. Shoot, washing and ironing all day is all she do at home. She got 6 children, you know.
That a fact, he say.
He come from behind his desk, lean over my chair.
Who your folks? He asks.
I tell him my mama's name, grandmama's name, grandpa's name.
Who your daddy? He asks. Where you get them eyes?
Ain't got no daddy, I say.
Come on now, he say. Ain't I seen you before?
I say, yes, sir.
And one time about 10 years ago, when I was a little girl, you give me a quarter.
I sure did appreciate it, I say.
I don't remember that, he say.
You come by the house with my mama friend, Mr. Jimmy, I say.
Squeak look round at all of us, then take a deep breath, mumble.
Say what? Asks Odessa.
Yeah, says Shug, if you can't tell us, who you gonna tell? God?
He took off my hat, says Squeak. Told me to undo my dress.
She dropped her head, put her face in her hands.
My God, say Odessa, and he your uncle.
He say if he was my uncle, he wouldn't do it to me. That'd be a sin. But this just a little fornication. Everybody guilty of that. She turned her face up to Harpo.
Harpo, she say, do you really love me? Or just my color?
Harpo say, I love you, Squeak. He kneeled down and tried to put his arms round her waist. She stand up.
My name Mary Agnes, she say.
Dear God, 6 months after Mary Agnes went to get Sophia out of prison, she began to sing. First, she sang Shug songs. Then she began to make up songs her own self. She got the kind of voice you never think of trying to sing a song. It little, it high, it sort of meowing. But Mary Agnes don't care. Pretty soon, us get used to it. Then us like it a whole lot. Harpo don't know what to make of it. It seemed funny to me, he said to me and Mister. So sudden. It put me in mind of a gramophone. Sit in the corner a year, silent as the grave. Then you put a record on, it come to life. Wonder if she's still mad Sophia knock her teeth out, I asked. Yeah, she mad. But what good being mad gonna do? She not evil. She knows Sophia life hard to bear right now. How she get along with the children? Asked Mister. They love her, say Harpo. She let them do anything they want. Uh-oh, I say. Besides, he say, Odessa and Sophia other sisters always on hand to take up the slack. They bring up children like military. Squeak sing. They calls me yellow, like yellow be my name. They calls me yellow, like yellow be my name. But if yellow is a name, why ain't black the same? Well, if I say, hey, black girl, Lord, she try to ruin my game. Dear God, Sophia say to me today, I just can't understand it. What that, I asked. Why we ain't already killed them off? 3 years after she beat, she out of the wash house, got her color and her weight back, looked like her old self. Just all time think about killing somebody. 2 men to kill off, I say. Us outnumbered from the start. I expect we knock over one or two, though, here and there, through the years, I say. We sit on a piece of old crate out near the edge of Miss Millie's yard. Rusty nails stick out along the bottom, and when us move, they creak against the wood. Sophia job to watch the children play ball. The little boy throw the ball to the little girl. She try to catch it with her eyes shut. It roll up under Sophia's foot. Throw me the ball, say the little boy, with his hands on his hip. Throw me the ball. Sophia mutter to herself, half to me, I'm here to watch, not to throw, she say. She don't make a move toward the ball. Don't you hear me talking to you? He shout. He may be 6 years old, brown hair, ice blue eyes. He comes steaming up to where us sit, haul off and kick Sophia leg. She swing her foot to one side and he scream. What the trouble? I asked. Done stab his foot with a rusty nail, Sophia say. Sure enough, blood come leaking through his shoe. His little sister come watch him cry. He turn redder and redder. Call his mama. Miss Millie come running. She scared of Sophia. Every time she talk to her, like she expect the worst. She don't stand close to her either. When she get a few yards from where us sit, she motion for Billy to come there. My foot, he say to her. Sophia do it, she ask. Little girl pipe up. Billy do it his own self, she say, trying to kick Sophia's leg. The little girl dote on Sophia, always stick up for her. Sophia never notice. She is deep to the little girl as she is to her brother. Miss Millie cut her eyes at her, put one arm round Billy's shoulder, and they limp into the back of the house. Little girl follow, wave bye-bye to us. She seemed like a right sweet little thing, I say to Sophia. Who is? She frown. The little girl, I say. What they call her? Eleanor Jane? Yeah, say Sophia, with a real puzzled look on her face. I wonder why she was ever born. Well, I say, us don't have to wonder that about darkies. She giggle. Miss Seeley, she say, you just as crazy as you can be. This the first giggle I heard in 3 years. Dear God, Sophia would make a dog laugh talking about those people she worked for. They have the nerve to try to make us think slavery fell through because of us, say Sophia. Like us didn't have sense enough to handle it. All the time breaking hoe handles and letting the mules loosen the wheat. But how anything they build can last a day is a wonder to me. They backward, she say, clumsy and unlucky. The mayor bought Miss Millie a new car, cause she say if colored could have cars, then one for her was past due. So he bought her a car, only he refused to show her how to drive it. Every day he come home from town, he look at her, look out the window at her car, say, how you enjoying her, Miss Millie? She fly off the sofa in a huff, slam the door going in the bathroom. She ain't got no friends. So one day she say to me, car been sitting out in the yard 2 months, Sophia, do you know how to drive? I guess she remembered first seeing me up against Buster Broadnack's car. Yes, ma'am, I say. I'm slaving away cleaning that big post they got down at the bottom of the stair. They act real funny about that post. No fingerprints are supposed to be on it, ever. Do you think you could teach me? She says. One of Sophia's children break in, the oldest boy. He tall and handsome, all the time serious, and mad a lot. He say, don't say slaving, Mama. Sophia say, why not? They got me in a little storeroom up under the house, hardly bigger than Odessa's porch, and just about as warm in the wintertime. I'm at they beck and call all night and all day. They won't let me see my cheering. They won't let me see no men's. Well, after 5 years, they let me see you once a year. I'm a slave, she say. What would you call it? A captive, he say. Sophia go on with her story. Only look at him like she glad he hers. So I say, yes, ma'am, I can teach you. If it's the same kind of car I learned on. Next thing you know, there go me and Miss Millie all up and down the road. First, I drive and she watch. Then she start to try to drive and I watch her up and down the road. Soon as I finish cooking breakfast, putting it on the table, washing dishes and sweeping the floor, and just before I go get the mail out the box down by the road, we go give Miss Millie her driving lesson. Well, after a while, she got the hang of it, more or less. Then she really get it. Then one day, when we come home from riding, she say to me, I'm going to drive you home. Just like that. Home? I asked. Yeah, she said, home. You ain't been home or seen your children in a while, she say. Ain't that right? I say, yes, ma'am. It been 5 years. She say, that's a shame. You just go get your things right now. Here it is Christmas. Go get your things. You can stay all day. For all day, I don't need nothing but what I got on, I say. Fine, she say, fine. Well, get in. Well, say Sophia, I was so used to sitting up there next to her teaching her how to drive that I just naturally clammed into the front seat. She stood outside on her side of the car, clearing her throat. Finally, she said, Sophia, with a little laugh, this is the South. Yes, ma'am, I say. She clear her throat, laugh some more. Look where you sitting, she say. I'm sitting where I always sit, I say. That's the problem, she say. Have you ever seen a white person and a colored sitting side by side in a car when one of them wasn't showing the other one how to drive it or clean it? I got out the car, opened the back door, and climbed in. She sat down up front. All of us traveled down the road, Miss Millie hair blowing all out the window.
It's real pretty country out this way, she say, when we hit the Marshall County Road, coming toward Odessa's house. Yes, ma'am, I say. Then we pull into the yard, and all the children come crowding round the car. Nobody told them I was coming, so they don't know who I is, except the oldest two. They fall on me and hug me. And then all the little ones start to hug me, too. I don't think they even notice I was sitting in the back of the car. Odessa and Jack come out after I was out, so they didn't see it. Us all stand round kissing and hugging each other, Miss Miller just watching. Finally, she leaned out the window and say, Sophia, you only got the rest of the day. I'll be back to pick you up at 5 o'clock. The children was all pulling me into the house. So sort of over my shoulder, I said, yes, ma'am. And I thought I heard her drive off. But 15 minutes later, Marion says, that white lady's still out there. Maybe she's going to wait to take you back, said Jack. Maybe she's sick, say Odessa. You always say how sickly they is. I go out to the car, say Sophia, and guess what the matter is? The matter is she don't know how to do nothing but go forward. And Jack and Odessa's yard too full of trees for that. Sophia, she say, how you back this thing up? I lean over the car window and try to show her which way to move the gears. But she flustered, and all the cheering and Odessa and Jack all standing round the porch watching her. I go round on the other side, try to explain with my head poked through that window. She's stripping gears aplenty by now. Plus, her nose red, and she look mad and frustrate both. I clam in the back seat, lean over the back of the front, instead of trying to show her how to operate the gears. Nothing happened. Finally, the car stopped making any sound. Engine dead. Don't worry, I say. Odessa's husband Jack will drive you home. That's his pickup right there. Oh, she say, I couldn't ride in a pickup with a strange colored man. I'll ask Odessa to squeeze in, too, I say. That would give me a chance to spend a little time with the children, I thought. But she said, no, I don't know her neither. So it ended up with me and Jack driving her back home in the pickup. Then Jack driving me to town to get a mechanic. And at 5 o'clock, I was driving Miss Millie's car back to her house. I spent 15 minutes with my children. And she been going on for months about how ungrateful I is. White folks is a miracle of affliction, say Sophia. Dear God, Suge writes she got a big surprise and she intend to bring it home for Christmas. What it is, us wonder. Mister think it a car for him. Suge making big money now, dressing furs all the time, silk and satin too, and hats made out of gold. Christmas morning, us hear this motor outside the door. Us look out. Hot diggity dog, say Mister, throwing on his pants. He rushed to the door. I stand in front of the glass trying to make something out my hair. It too short to be long to be short, too nappy to be kinky, too kinky to be nappy. No set color to it either. I give up. Tie on a head rag. I hear Suge cry, oh, Albert. He says, Suge. I know they hugging. Then I don't hear nothing. I run out the door. Suge, I say, and put out my arms. But before I know anything, a skinny, big-toothed man wearing red suspenders is all up in my face. Before I can wonder whose dog he is, he hugging me. Miss Seeley, he said. Oh, Miss Seeley, I heard so much about you. Feel like we old friends. Suge standing back with a big grin. This Grady, she say. This my husband. The minute she say it, I know I don't like Grady. I don't like his shape. I don't like his teeth. I don't like his clothes. Seem like to me he smell.
Us been driving all night, she say. Nowhere to stop, you know, but here us is.
She come over to Grady and put her arms round him. Look up at him like he cute, and he leaned down and give her a kiss.
I glanced round at Mister. He looked like the end of the world. I know I don't look no better.
And this my wedding present to us, say Suge. The car big and dark blue and say Packard on the front.
Brand new, she say.
She look at Mister, take his arm, give it a little squeeze.
While we here, Albert, she say, I want you to learn how to drive.
She laugh.
Great to drive like a fool, she say. I thought the polices was going to catch us for sure.
Finally, Suge really seemed to notice me. She come over and hugged me a long time.
Us two married ladies now, she say.
Two married ladies.
And hungry, she say. What us got to eat?
Dear God, Mr. Drink all through Christmas, him and Grady. Me and Suge cook, talk, clean the house, talk, fix up the tree, talk, wake up in the morning, talk. She's singing all over the country these days. Everybody know her name. She know everybody, too. No Sophie Tucker, no Duke Ellington, no folks I ain't never heard of, and money. She makes so much money, she don't know what to do with it. She got a fine house in Memphis, another car. She got 100 pretty dresses, a room full of shoes. She buy Grady anything he think he want.
Where you find him at? I asked.
Up under my car, she say. The one at home. I drove it after the oil gave out, killed the engine. He the man fixed it. Us took one look at one another. That was it.
Mister's feelings hurt, I say. I don't mention mine.
Ah, she say. That old stuff finally over with. You and Albert feel just like family now. Anyhow, once you told me he beat you and won't work, I felt different about him.
If you was my wife, she say, I'd cover you up with kisses instead of licks and work hard for you, too.
He ain't beat me much since you made him quit, I say. Just a slap now and then when he ain't got nothing else to do.
Y'all make love any better? She asked.
Us try, I say. He try to play with the button, but feel like his fingers dry.
Us don't get nowhere much.
You still a virgin? She asked.
I reckon, I say.
Dear God, Mr. and Grady gone off in the car together. Suge asked me could she sleep with me. She cold in her and Grady bed all alone. Let's talk about this and that. Soon talk about making love. Suge don't actually say making love. She say something nasty. She say, fuck. She asked me, how was it with your cheering daddy?
The girls had a little separate room, I say, off to itself, connected to the house by a little plank walk. Nobody ever come in there but Mama. But one time when Mama not at home, he come. Told me he want me to trim his hair. He bring the scissors and comb and brush on a stool. While I trim his hair, he look at me funny. He a little nervous, too, but I don't know why, till he grab hold of me and cram me up between his legs. I lay there quiet, listening to Suge breathe. It hurt me, you know, I say. I was just going on 14. I never even thought about men having nothing down there so big. It scared me just to see it and the way it poke itself and grow.
Suge so quiet I think she sleep. After he threw, I say, he make me finish trimming his hair. I sneak a look at Suge.
Oh, Miss Seeley, she say, and put her arms round me. They black and smooth and kind of glowy from the lamplight.
I start to cry, too. I cry and cry and cry,
seemed like it all come back to me, laying there in Suge's arms. How it hurt, and how much I was surprised. How it stung while I finished trimming his hair. How the blood dripped down my leg and messed up my stocking. How he don't never look at me straight after that. And Nettie. "Don't cry, Celie," Suge say. "Don't cry." She start kissing the water as it come downside my face. After a while, I say, "Mama finally asked, how come she find his hair in the girls' room if he don't never go in there like he say?" "That when he told her I had a boyfriend, some boy he say he seen sneaking out the back door." "It the boy's hair," he say, "not his." "You know how she loved to cut anybody hair," he say. "I did love to cut hair," I say to Suge, "since I was a little bitty thing. I'd run go get the scissors if I saw hair coming, and I'd cut and cut long as I could. That how come I was the one cut his hair. But always before, I cut it on the front porch. It got to the place where every time I saw him coming with the scissors and the comb and the stool, I start to cry." Suge say, "Well, sir." And I thought it was only white folks do freakish things like that. "My mama die," I tell Suge. "My sister Nettie run away. Mister come get me to take care of his rotten children. He never asked me nothing about myself. He clam on top of me and fuck, even when my head bandaged. Nobody ever loved me," I say. She say, "I love you, Miss Celie." And then she haul off and kiss me on the mouth. She say, like she surprised. I kiss her back, say, too. Us kiss and kiss till us can't hardly kiss no more. Then us touch each other. "I don't know nothing about it," I say to Suge. "I don't know much," she say. Then I feel something real soft and wet on my breast. Feel like one of my little lost baby's mouth. Way after a while, I act like a little lost baby, too. Dear God, Grady and Mister come staggering in round daybreak. Me and Suge sound asleep, her back to me, my arms round her waist. What it like? Little like sleeping with Mama, only I can't hardly remember ever sleeping with her. Little like sleeping with Nettie, only sleeping with Nettie never feel this good. It warm and cushiony. And I feel Suge's big tits sort of flop over my arms like suds. It feel like heaven is what it feel like. Not like sleeping with Mister at all. "Wake up, Sugar," I say. "They back." And Sugar roll over, hug me, and get out of the bed. She stagger into the other room and fall on the bed with Grady. Mister fall into bed next to me, drunk, and snoring before he hit the quilts. I try my best to like Grady. Even if he do wear red suspenders and bow ties. Even if he do spend Suge's money like he made it himself. Even if he do try to talk like somebody from the North. Memphis, Tennessee ain't North. Even I know that. But one thing I sure enough can't stand. The way he calls Suge Mama. "I ain't your fucking mama," Suge say. But he don't pay her no mind. Like when he be making goo-goo eyes at Squeak. And Suge sort of teased him about it. He said, "Oh, Mama, you know I don't mean no harm." Suge likes Squeak, too. Try to help her sing. They sit in Odessa's front room with all the cheering crowded round them, singing and singing. Sometimes Swain come with his box, Harpo cook dinner, and me and Mister and the prize fighter bring our appreciation. It nice. Suge say to Squeak, Mary Agnes, "You ought to sing in public." Mary Agnes say, "No." She think 'cause she don't sing big and broad like Suge,
Nobody want to hear her.
But Shug says she wrong.
What about all them funny voices you hear singing in church, Shug say?
What about all them sounds that sound good, but they not the sounds you thought folks could make? What about that?
Then she start moaning.
Sound like death approaching? Angels can't prevent it.
It raised the hair on the back of your neck.
But it really sound sort of like panthers would sound, if they could sing.
I tell you something else, Shug say to Mary Agnes. Listening to you sing, folks get to thinking about a good screw.
Oh, Miss Shug, say Mary Agnes, changing color.
Shug say, what?
Too shamefaced to put singing and dancing and fucking together?
She laughed. That's the reason they call what us sing the devil's music. Devils love to fuck. Listen, she say, let's go sing one night at Harpo Place. Be like old times for me, and if I bring you before the crowd, they better listen with respect. Niggas don't know how to act, but if you get through the first half of one song, you got 'em.
You reckon that's the truth? Say Mary Agnes, she all big-eyed and delight.
I don't know if I want her to sing, say Harpo.
How come? Asked Shug. That woman you got singing now can't get her ass out the church. Folks don't know whether to dance or creep to the mourner's bench. Plus, you dress Mary Agnes up the right way, and you'll make piss pots of money. Yellow like she is, stringy hair and cloudy eyes, the men'll be crazy about her.
Ain't that right, Grady? She say.
Grady looked a little sheepish. Grin.
Mama, you don't miss a thing, he say.
And don't you forget it, say Shug. Dear God, this the letter I've been holding in my hand. Dear Celie, I know you think I am dead, but I am not. I've been writing to you, too, over the years, but Albert said you'd never hear from me again. And since I never heard from you all this time, I guess he was right. Now I only write at Christmas and Easter, hoping my letter get lost among the Christmas and Easter greetings, or that Albert get the holiday spirit and have pity on us. There is so much to tell you that I don't know hardly where to begin, and anyway, you probably won't get this letter either. I'm sure Albert is still the only one to take mail out of the box. But if this do get through, one thing I want you to know, I love you, and I am not dead. And Olivia is fine, and so is your son. We are all coming home before the end of another year. Your loving sister, Nettie.
One night in bed, she asked me to tell her about Nettie. What's she like? Where's she at? I tell her how Mister tried to turn her head. How Nettie refused him, and how he say Nettie have to go.
Where she go? She asked. I don't know, I say. She leave here.
And no word from her yet? She asked.
No, I say. Every day when Mister come from the mailbox, I hope for news, but nothing come.
She dead, I say.
Shook say, she wouldn't be someplace with funny stamps, you don't reckon.
She look like she's studying.
Say, sometimes when Albert and me walk up to the mailbox, there'd be a letter with a lot of funny-looking stamps. He never said nothing about it, just put it in his inside pocket. One time I asked him could I look at the stamps, but he said he'd take it out later. But he never did.
She was just on her way to town, I say.
Stamps look like stamps around here.
White men with long hair.
Hmm, she say. Looked like a little fat white woman was on one.
What's your sister Nettie like? She asks.
Smart?
Yes, Lord, I say. Smart as anything. Read the newspapers when she was little more than talking. Did figures like they was nothing. Talked real well, too. And sweet? There never was a sweeter girl, I say. Eyes just brimming over with it.
She loved me, too, I say to Shug.
She tall or short? Sugar asked. What kind of dress she like to wear? What her birthday? What her favorite color? Can she cook? Sew? What about hair?
Everything about Nettie she want to know. I talk so much my voice start to go.
Why you want to know so much about Nettie? I ask.
'Cause she the only one you ever love, she say, besides me.
Dear God, all of a sudden, Shug buddy-buddy again with Mister. They sit on the steps, go down hall-poles, walk to the mailbox. Shug laugh and laugh when he got anything to say. Show teeth and tits are plenty. Me and Grady try to carry it on like us civilized, but it hard. When I hear Shug laugh, I want to choke her, slap Mister's face. All this week I suffer. Grady and me feel so down, he turned to reefer. I turned to prayer. Saturday morning, Shug put Nettie letter in my lap. Little fat Queen of England stamps on it, plus stamps that got peanuts, coconuts, rubber trees, and say, Africa. I don't know where England at. Don't know where Africa at either. So I still don't know where Nettie at.
He been keeping your letters, say Shug.
No, I say. Mr. Mean sometimes, but he not that mean. She say, he that mean.
But how come he do it, I ask.
He know Nettie mean everything in the world to me.
Shug says she don't know, but us gonna find out.
Us seal the letter up again and put it back in Mr.'s pocket. He walk round with it in his coat all day. He never mention it. Just talk and laugh with Grady, Harpo, and Swain, and try to learn how to drive Shug's car. I watch him so close, I begin to feel a lightning in the head. Before I know anything, I'm standing behind his chair with his razor open. Then I hear Shug laugh like something just too funny. She said to me, I know I told you I need something to cut this hangnail with, but Albert get real niggerish about his razor.
Mister looked behind him. Put that down, he say. Women. Always needing to cut this and shave that, and always gumming up the razor.
Shug got her hand on the razor now. She say, oh, it looked dull anyway. She take and sling it back in the shaving box. All day long, I act just like Sophia. I stutter. I mutter to myself. I stumble about the house crazy for Mister's blood. In my mind, he fallen dead every which way. By time night come, I can't speak. Every time I open my mouth, nothing come out but a little burp. Shug tell everybody I got a fever, and she put me to bed. It probably catching, she say to Mister. Maybe you better sleep somewhere else. But she stay with me all night long. I don't sleep. I don't cry. I don't do nothing. I'm cold, too. Pretty soon, I think maybe I'm dead. Shug hold me close to her and sometimes talk. One thing my mama hated me for was how much I loved to fuck, she say. She never loved to do nothing had anything to do with touching nobody, she say. I try to kiss her. She turned her mouth away. Say, cut that out, Lily. Lily Shug's real name. She just so sweet they call her Shug. My daddy loved me to kiss and hug him, but she didn't like the looks of that. So when I met Albert, and once I got in his arms, nothing could get me out. It was good, too, she say. You know, for me to have three babies by Albert, and Albert weak as he is, it had to be good. I had every one of my babies at home, too. Midwife come, preacher come, a bunch of the good ladies from the church. Just when I hurt so much I don't know my own name, they think a good time to talk about repent. She laughed. I was too big a fool to repent. Then she say, I loved me some Albert. I don't even want to say nothing. Where I'm at, it peaceful, it calm. No Albert there, no Shug, nothing. Shug say, the last baby did it.
They turned me out. I went to stay with my mama while sister in Memphis.